The snooker table juddered again and moved away from the door. A metallic arm was pushing its way through the narrow gap, shoving chairs out of the way but unable to move the table.
"You'd better start hiding in there," Sally's voice called out mockingly. "Run and hide, because I'm counting to 100. We're coming to get you, ready or not."
"Yes, Doctor," McCavity said, his voice threateningly quiet. "Run and hide, because if you won't make the resurrection casket work, then you'll be the one needing it."
"Listen!" the doctor shouted in McCavity's ear. "I can't use the casket to bring back Larissa. Not won't, but can't."
McCavity pulled away, shaking off the doctor's grip. "Then you deserve to die, Doctor," he said. He turned and walked away. The snooker table suddenly shot back a yard, sending Jim and Rose tumbling to the floor.
"Goodbye, Doctor,"
McCavity shouted above the noise. The doctor turned from the door and found Kevin looking down at him sadly.
"What?"
the doctor said.
"He put the black shadow in your pocket, Doctor," Kevin said. "Once you've been got with the black shadow, that's it, I'm afraid. Neat technicality last time, but it won't work again. The only other thing you can do is to return it to the person who put it on you, or get him to release you from it. But it looks like McCavity's long gone. Sorry."
"You don't have to do this," the doctor said. Massive, hairy paws loomed above him, claws glinting in the blood-red lighting.
"I do, I'm afraid," Kevin said. "Sorry, Doctor, but hey, let's make it quick, eh?"
And the claws slashed down. Rose turned in time to see the doctor throw himself to one side. He landed on the sofa, rolled, and was at once back on his feet.
"Jim, action figures!" he yelled.
Then, in a blur of speed, he was out of the back door. Sally was struggling to push past the snooker table that was still blocking the robot's way.
"Now what?" Jim asked, face pale and eyes wide. "We can't fight them."
He had a point, Rose had to admit, and now Elvis was pushing his way through under the table, while Canon K was climbing over it.
"We have to," she said.
"Then we need a weapon. They're battle robots. They're invincible."
"Balls," Rose told him.
Jim looked surprised.
"Snooker balls."
She was tearing urgently at the green baize covering the table.
"Why do we need that?"
"We don't,"
she told him.
"We need the rubber underneath."
"Catapult,"
Jim realised. They dragged the sofa to block the back door, ducking down in the doorway. Rose threaded the strip of rubber through a hinge of the door on one side and the clasp that held it shut on the other. Then she knotted it into a loop.
"What did he mean about action figures?"
she asked as she dragged the rubber back down the passage.
"I have figures of them all," Jim said, "but I don't know how that helps."
Canon K was coming at them now.
"So you know these robots, how they fit together, how the toys fit together anyway."
"Canon K," Jim said, suddenly grinning. "His head comes off. Uncle Bob says it's just like the real thing. The neck looks really thin."
"Weak point." Rose was struggling to hold the rubber tight.
"Let's see if we can aim this thing. Give me a ball, quick."
Jim reached for the pile of balls on the sofa. Canon K was almost on them. Jim's hand froze in indecision.
"What colour do you want?"
Rose held the blue snooker ball in the rubber and staggered backwards. She closed her eyes and let go. The sound of the impact was tremendous. Rose opened her eyes and saw that Canon K's head was dented on one side.
"Good shot," Jim was shouting. "Try the black, try the black. Aim for the neck with a black."
The black ball caught Canon K full in his thin neck. The heavy, helmet-like head snapped back as if in surprise. There was a wrenching, tearing sound, and it pulled free and fell to the floor.